It's time once again for Insight with Jack Sogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Sogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Sogler.
Chase, okay, we good? Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Insight. This absolutely gorgeous Wednesday evening. What are we doing inside, Neil?
Talking.
We're talking inside when we could be outside jogging like I do every Wednesday night. But instead of that, we have the honor of talking to one of the candidates for the Mercer County Commission, and that's Mr. Brian Miller. Hello, Brian.
Good evening. Thanks for having me on this evening.
Welcome to Fort Recovery.
Absolutely. Thank you.
It is a place that you're becoming more and more familiar with here the past few months, I guess, huh?
Yeah, especially this last weekend. I was over here Saturday for the real estate town hall meeting that Mayor Kalp hosted, and was back Sunday evening for the Chamber of Commerce banquet. Had a great time.
Fantastic. And so you're one of the three candidates running for the open seat that's being vacated by Commissioner Jerry Laffinger. He's served this county for decades, I guess it is probably.
When he retires, it'll be 44 years.
No kidding.
Yep.
That is incredible. So, like, are you anticipating the same length of service?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? So, Brian, I tell you what, let's start with a getting to know Brian Miller type thing. A lot of people in the Fort Recovery area may not be as familiar as those in Salina or those around the lake. So, you know, why don't you share a bit about yourself?
Sure. Thanks a lot for that. Yeah, so I was born right here in Mercer County. Actually, was born and resided up in the Rockford area for a while. I am the son of Alice Miller. A lot of people know my mom. She is the Ace lady at Coldwater Ace, a little short gray-haired lady, Ace. Everybody knows Alice from Ace. And then the late Jack Miller. So my dad passed away many years ago. I'm the father of two children, Jerry, Joe Miller, and Riley Miller. And also I have two grandchildren. I am married to Michelle. We've been married for 6 years now. And I'm a graduate of Salina City High School. But like I said, started the first couple years up in Rockford, year to 2 years in Rockford. And then we moved to the south side of Lake. So I grew up over in the Montezuma area on the south side of Lake there. And went to Salina City School and graduated from there in 1986.
1986.
Yep.
And from there, you went to college?
I did not.
No? Okay.
No. Interesting spin. So my family owned a marina, Bayview Marina. It's now called Bayview Sun and Snow.
Yeah.
It's a small family business. My uncle and his business partner actually started it many, many years ago. They came up here from Dayton, Ohio, and I never can get it straight. One was a painter, one was a drywaller, but they come up here and made an investment on Southside Lake, and started Bayview Marina. And if anybody remembers the old Bayview Lodge that used to be out there,
yeah,
that was them. And that burned at one time, you know, and then they rebuilt it. And so my family had the marina. My mom tells a story that I started working there at the age of 9, you know, pumping gas on the gas dock and, of course, cleaning windows on boats and those types of things. And then over time, you know, it transitioned into, you know, just becoming a mechanic and different things. So, yeah, so a nice career over there. So basically, I make a joke of it, and I probably shouldn't, that high school was somewhat of an aggravation at times for me because I'd get off the bus, I'd jump on my bicycle, and I'd ride to work at the marina, you know. And
yeah.
And I also tell the story, I probably should quit telling this story, but I tell the story that the high school principal and I had an agreement. He'd sign my diploma if I agreed not to come back. But so, yeah, took off from there, worked at the marina. You know, as a kid, you don't know, right? So
right.
You think, I'm going to, you know, eventually have this business. It'll be my business, and I'll run this business, and, you know, it'll be a generational thing, right? But I'll never forget, I think it was about 1989, there was a state park manager, assistant manager, to stop at the marina once in a while, and he told my dad that they were looking for a seasonal dredge operator, and they were looking for somebody that had some mechanical skills. So my dad said, you know, you should look into this position. And I remember telling him, you know, well, Dad, it's seasonal. you know, and I'll never forget this as long as I live. He said, you can stay here as long as you want, but there's no benefits. There's no retirement. And so I went from there. I went to work for the state as a seasonal dredge operator, and just things ballooned from there. I was a seasonal dredge operator. Then over time became a full-time dredge operator. Well, being seasonal, I still was turning some wrenches on some boats and different things, and got a part-time job working for the township, Franklin Township, which is the south side of the lake. And it worked out perfectly because I could plow snow in the winter because I'd be laid off. They didn't run the dredges in the winter. And then I picked up mowing cemeteries, and I was mowing road ditches in the evenings and weekends. And at one point, somebody said, you know, you should consider running for township trustee. And so I did, and ran for township trustee, and it was a two-term township trustee on the south side of Grand Lake St. Mary's from 92 to 2000. In that time mix there, I've become a full-time dredge operator. And then in 2000, I'll never forget, they posted an assistant park manager job. So I just loved being a township trustee, and I thought, you know, it's just another level of working in government. So I applied for it, and my knowledge, skills, and experience that I got from being a township trustee, grassroots government, gave me the knowledge, skills, and experience to secure that position as assistant park manager. Went on from there to then secure the knowledge, skills, and abilities then to become park manager. And I'll never forget, I was actually signed up through Sheriff Gray. He had me, I'd talked to him, and I was signed up to go take my peace officer's training out at Wright State. And the sheriff said, we'll have a seat for you. You come out. And I was going to get my commission. I was going to be a commissioned park manager. And about that time, High Department of Natural Resources decided they were going to go a different direction. They were going to let the park officers be the park officers and the managers be the managers and not try to do both. And so I got asked to go take my training to be a highly certified public manager, which was 2 years. I remember I would drive to Dayton to do that. And it was an accreditation. It's a national accreditation. And you took ethics and just a lot of different things about government. And so I did that. So that's a little bit of my, future education that I did.
Yeah.
It was a little bit tough for me because it was a little bit later in life. And but it went well.
It means more then, doesn't it?
It did. It did a lot more.
Yeah.
Boy, today, you know, I look back and go, man, maybe I should have paid a little more attention during history class. I remember we had to take typing in high school, and I thought, this is the, when will I ever type?
Crock.
But then when I become assistant manager and park manager, you know, they throw them computers in front of you, and actually, believe it or not, those keystrokes come back to me. Yeah. At first, I was a hunt and pecker, and then eventually the keystrokes come back, and as we all do now, even in my business today, which we'll talk about later, you know, I just use a computer way too much, spend too much time on it. But, so... Hope I'm not getting ahead here, but then, as being park manager, I think everybody, even you guys down here are very familiar, everybody's familiar with the water quality issues, right?
Sure.
And so during that time, I was a park manager, and there was just a lot of media. You know, we were getting media from Dayton, Columbus, all over, and I was dealing with that media and dealing with the lake residents, and, just they were upset. They couldn't sell their homes, and property values weren't good, and... And then, there was a lot of finger-pointing back then, and this was a touchy subject back then, you know, of why. Why did the lake? Why did those things happen? And, you know, there's a finger-pointing of, you know, it's the manure. You know, there was a finger-pointing of, no, it's because you built all these channels, and you've done all the riprap and seawalls, and it's the geese. I remember that was another one, you know. And so, you know, we're better people than that. So I remember a group of us got together, and... not to mention leave anybody out, but I just remember there's a group of people. Ron Putoff was a big part of that. If you remember him, he was a county commissioner years ago. And we just got a group together, Tom Knapke at Wright State, and we pulled together people from soil and water and the ag side and from the lakeside and lakeside residents and come together and developed what's still today called the Lake Restoration Commission to get together, come up with some common ground and move things forward. So... Worked through that as a park manager, worked with a lot of great people, and then that gave me the, the knowledge, skills, and experience to move on, and then that was my last position with the High Department of Natural Resources then was the Southwest District Manager. So I provided leadership to 14 state parks in Southwest Ohio.
Really?
Yeah, and end of this month, March 31st, I'll be retired for 2 years. So
fantastic.
What a great career run.
It's amazing that, you know, it it starts with you washing boat windows at the age of 9, you know, and some great advice from your dad, you know, and you know, life and goals is rarely a straight line. You just make the most of the various decisions that come your way, and wow, you've been able to accomplish a lot, you know.
Absolutely, and I think it's, you know, it's just that Mercer County work ethic we got, you know. You know, education is a great thing, and I recommend everybody get it. My daughter just graduated with her master's from Bowling Green, you know, so she did a lot of years of school, right? And I'm very, 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 very proud of her. But it just wasn't my thing. But just through hard work, effort, you know, hard work and, you know, just common sense, I think plays a lot into it and still does today. So
yeah, and it's kind of neat because I think that your daughter's degree is in, like, medical administration type stuff.
Yeah, actually, gerontology. She went to school to become a nurse, and you know, like many kids do when they leave Mercer County and they get to grow their wings, they she decided to get her beer drinking certificate her first semester, and and so when she got back, they told her her plan was to go to Bowling Green for 2 years and then to go on to Toledo to the nursing program. At that time, Bowling Green didn't have a nursing program. I think they do now, from what I understand. But so she went back, talked to her advisor, and they said, you know, you're going to have to get a 4.0 the next 3 semesters. So I'm very proud of her. She changed her bachelor's to gerontology, the study of aging.
Yep.
And then she went on to get her master's in basically, I can't pronounce all the words, but long-term healthcare administration. Yeah. So actually, she's scheduled in April to take her national and state board test, and then if she passed those, then she'll be a licensed, you know, nursing home administrator.
Fantastic. So, yeah. And your wife works for Grand Lake Health System?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think she's been there going on 20 years. So she's one of them people nobody likes. So she's in the billing department. So,
Fantastic. Well, I tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break and find out why a guy who is so successful would decide to run for county commissioner. So we'll be back right after this.
Stop by Bridge Street Tavern for some great supper specials during Lent. You can choose from a 3-piece fried pollock dinner, a 1 or 2-piece baked cod fillet dinner, or an 8-piece sauteed jumbo shrimp dinner, and all their dinners come with their salad bar and your choice of potato. And for lunch on Friday, they'll have their 2-piece fish dinner. You don't need to stand in line to get some great fish this Lenten season. Just stop into Brick Street Tavern and let their smiling faces bring your meal to you. Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery.
At Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Cadote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. K&L Tractor is proud to be the authorized Kloss hay and forage dealer for this part of the Midwest. Whether you need a Kloss baler, hay tool, or forage harvester, K&L Tractor is the place to go. We have the Kloss product you need and the factory-trained technicians to keep you running smooth. So remember, for all your Kloss harvesting needs, shop at K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Hi, I'm Kenzie Garkey.
I'm Brittany Tubby.
I'm Callie Wendell, and we're the Indians girls softball team, and we're challenging the baseball team again this year to see which team can collect the most donations for our local food pantry on Monday, April 1st, when we place the lineup.
I'm Sage Wendell.
I'm Riggs Toby.
And I'm Troy Homan, and we're the Indians baseball team. We accept your challenge because we know we can collect a lot more food pantry donations than these girls can.
Last year, we collected a lot more than the boys did, and we got to pie our coaches in the face, and we're going to do it again this year.
We'll be playing Sydney Lehman that day, and we're going to win the competition and pie our coaches in the face this year.
Whichever teams win, the fans who come to the games can win too. For every item you donate, you'll get a ticket or our drawing to win Fort Recovery Merchant gift certificates to be given away that day.
Some of the suggested donations are non-perishable food or household items, such as cleaning supplies or Ziploc bags, and personal care items like shampoo, deodorant, toiletries, etc.
Make sure you bring your donations to the LeFevre Athletic Complex to cheer us on as we play Salina.
And we play Sydney Lehman, and you can help us collect a lot of items for our local food pantry.
Come out and help our baseball and softball teams collect donations for our local food pantry on Monday, April 1st.
We'll see you there.
We're back. Insight. Talking to candidate for Mercer County Commissioner, Mr. Brian Miller, and we've learned a lot about Brian's past and his experience with the ODNR, and so a little bit over a year ago, you decided to take a petition around, get it signed so you could run for county commissioner. What was that thought process and decision making like that made you decide to do that?
Well, I tell you, when I was a township trustee, and if I remember correctly, I was one of the youngest in Ohio. Like I said, that was quite some time ago. I was pretty wet behind the ears, and so I would turn to many of our county officials and other township trustees. But I just remember working with Jerry a lot, just getting advice. Like I said, I was township trustee at Franklin, and that was shortly after it was about 5 years after the sewer system went in. If you remember, they put a sewer system in on the south side of Lake in 87, I think, that went online. And we were just, as trustees, were being overran with development. And I was working a lot with the county engineer back then, Roy Thompson, and I was turning to Jerry for a lot of advice at that time. And I just, something struck me then that it was just intriguing what they got to do. And it's just something I've always thought about. And just now is the perfect time for me. Like I said, I retired going on 2 years ago from ODNR. We didn't talk about it, but when I retired, before I retired, I thought, what am I going to do when I grow up now, And I started my own small engine repair business. I seen a need for that up in the Salina area. And so I've been always wanting to do it. I've always stayed in contact with Jerry, even when I wasn't a trustee. I mean, I've always ran into Jerry and talked to Jerry and always enjoyed talking to him. And I know his family, particularly as one daughter and son-in-law I knew well. And I got a call that said, hey, sounds like Dad's not going to rerun. Might want to talk to him. And I didn't. It was around the holidays, and just, we're all so busy around the holidays. And I was at my shop one day. I'll never forget it. It's one of those things you'll never forget. It was just a snowy, dreary day, and I was driving up Main Street, and I called the Board of Elections, and I said, you guys open today? And they're like, yeah. And I popped in and grabbed it and grabbed the petition, went home, talked to my wife. As you can see, we've only been married 6 years, so it is my second marriage. And I went home, talked to her, and she said, if it's been a lifelong dream and goal of yours, she's like, why wouldn't you do it? So, and to be honest, being apart from, public service for the last 2 years, I think it's what I'm wound to do. So I just really miss public service and just making an impact, as much of an impact as you can, that impacts a lot of people. It's fun repairing people's mowers and doing those things and interacting with the customers. But, when you can make an impactful difference that impacts a whole community and sometimes can impact things that are going to be for generations, there's just a good feeling about that.
Without a doubt. And I'm sure having the support of your wife and your kids.
Oh, yeah. My wife and my daughter Riley are two of the hugest, two of my largest supporters that I have. My wife, she just, it's go, go, go. Like I said earlier, we're lucky right now. We're empty nesters. And so my wife and I have the time, because I can tell you, I was thinking on the way over here, this run of campaign, we're 13 months. I mean, I went to my second NRA banquet. I went to my second chamber, or Fort Recovery Chamber of Commerce meeting. We're going to go to our second Salina Rotary function this weekend. It's been a long haul, but it's been fun. But it is I hope nobody takes this wrong, but it's like a second job. It seems like not every weekend or not every evening, but almost every evening, we're either going somewhere or we're working on things at home. And every weekend you're going somewhere. I mean, we're eating a lot of fish right now on Friday nights, but you can't beat it. There's a lot of great
fish fries out there.
There is, and it's just
the good news is they're all on Friday night.
Yeah.
You know.
So, but you know, it's been humbling to get to meet all the different people. I mean, we've been from one end of the county to the other, from one side to the other side, and just meeting all the people. And you know, one of the things that sort of surprises me is you would think that when you tell people you're running for, you know, potentially, you know, that you run for county commissioner, that a lot of things would jump out at you, you know, that, hey, this issue, that issue. But I tell you, we live in a great place. There's issues.
Oh, yeah.
Don't get me wrong. There's issues, but there's not been anything that's been real glaring that's jumped out. But I'm just in the right point of my life that I can devote the time needed to do it correctly. You know, I guess another thing that amazes me is how much people don't know about what a county commissioner does. And it's a lot of what I get asked. Well, what does a county commissioner do? And I guess I just assumed everybody knew, because when I was in township government and being in state government, you're working so closely with those guys. You understand what they do. But, you know, yeah, they do meet, you know, they have business meetings on Tuesdays and Thursdays year round. But, you know, some people think, well, that's a pretty good deal. Well, you know, I talk to the commissioners, and I see their agendas and see their schedules, and you know, they're attending a lot of meetings, and there's a lot of Monday, Wednesday, Friday meetings and weekends. I mean, we all went to the chamber banquet here at Fort Recovery the other night, and there was a couple of our commissioners there. You know, it seems like these events you go to, commissioners are there, you know. So it's as much as you want to put into it, I guess, as a commissioner, but I'm at the point where I would really put the time into it to do it right.
And you're less than a week away. That has got to feel good.
Yeah, it's been a long 13 months. It's people have warned me that this month will be the toughest. This week will be the toughest. On the way here, I had to stop and fix one of my banners. You know, they're getting wind beat. You know, where I got here, a good old flat part of the state. The signs. It seems like every Saturday afternoon we go around, we deal with signs. You know, we got a lot of signs out there. You've probably seen them around. And so they take maintenance. So, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to see what the outcome is. And
one more night at fish fries.
Yeah. Well, no, we got lit yet. So we got a couple more good ones to go.
That's true. So you talked about how busy the past 13 months have been. Is it what you expected, or is it more than you anticipated?
I have figured out how big this county really is. You know, I mean, I've always got around the county, you know, just going to different events, you know, just as a family, you know, chasing your kids in sports and just whatever it might be, and going to events, prior to run this campaign. But boy, you just figure out how big the county is, and just, we all know how big it is, right? But when you start driving it and you're putting signs out and you're going to parades and festivals, you know, it's just, you figure out it's a lot. I don't think there's anything that I really didn't expect, other than there's a lot to run a campaign. I seen State Representative Angie King Sunday evening at the Fort Recovery Chamber Banquet over here, and I told her, I was like, how do you do it? I'm just trying to win a county seat, you know, and she's running for a state seat, which, you know, it's her district, but still, my wife and I talk about that quite often. Could you imagine if you run a state campaign or even a national campaign? I mean, oh my gosh. So, but it's been good. I tell you, as you can probably tell talking here, I'm a people person, so it's just been great to meet people and you go to the festivals. Who doesn't like good festival food?
Yeah. So as you've gone from Mendon to Fort Recovery to Mariastein, Rockford, and you've met all these different people, you've met with all these different organizations, what have you learned just about the county that you really didn't know before? That's a hell of a question.
Yeah, it is.
We will take a break and let you think about it. But we will come back and listen to Brian's answer now that I gave him some time to think about it. But we'll be back right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery is now hiring in their service and parts departments. Hull Brothers sells and services both farm equipment and lawn and garden equipment. Full-time employees enjoy generous wages, health insurance, paid vacations, 401k contributions, annual bonuses, and more. Since 1896, Hull Brothers has served area farmers with skilled and dedicated employees. Consider joining the Hull Brothers team. Apply today at Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery.
If you're looking for great food at great prices, just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274. They have sandwiches, fried goodies, subs, salads, wraps, and of course their famous pizza and wings. Everybody can get what they want. Just call them and drive through and pick it up. And be sure to stop in on Fridays at lunch for their famous pizza and wing buffet. Make Miracle Lanes your number one spot for great food. Be sure to put their number in your phone and just call them whenever you're hungry. 419-375-4274.
We're the Lady Indian softball team.
I'm Callie Wendell.
I'm Kenzie Garkey.
And I'm Brittany Tubby. And we're having a raffle, and all the prizes are cash. $100, $200, $300, $400, and the grand prize of $500 cash.
We'll draw the winners at our first home softball game, scheduled for Monday, March 25th. And you don't need to be present to win. The tickets are just $10 each, and you can get them from any of our players or coaches.
Don't miss this chance to help out our Lady Indian softball team and take home some cash. That's the Lady Indian softball team's cash raffle. Tickets are on sale now from any of our players or coaches, and we'll be giving away $1,500 in cash at our first home game, scheduled for Monday, March 25th.
Good luck, and we appreciate your support.
We're back. Insight. Talking to Mr. Brian Miller, candidate for Mercer County Commissioner, that we will be voting on, I think March 19th is the big day, correct?
Yep.
Yep. So Brian, going into the break, I'd asked you, with all of your experience now, going to different organizations and different communities, talking to so many people, what's been the thing that you've learned about the county that you weren't aware of prior to this?
I think one of the biggest things that I've learned, and it's, I hope this answer is good, but I think one of the things I've learned is how the county is structured. So a lot of people think that the county commissioners are like the mayor, that they're in charge of all the different departments, which essentially they're not. You know, we elect those officials. We elect an engineer. We elect a sheriff. We elect the auditor, the treasurer, you know. And, you know, those folks, you know, they make their decisions. You know, what the commissioners do, you know, is they set the appropriations and they make sure all those people are housed, all those different departments are housed. But that's one thing I learned. I don't know if that's, you know, directly getting your question. I think a lot of things that I've heard about, I confirmed them, I guess. And yeah. One of the biggest things is the volunteerism. And, you know, and that's not just a Mercer County issue. That's a nationwide issue.
Sure.
And I think with the literature I give you, you can see I've got a long expansion of volunteer organizations I've served with over the years. But just, I guess I learned more about the real issue with the squads, you know, with particularly the Rockford and the Coldwater squads, you know, and the volunteers there, the shortage of volunteers and getting those out. And I've really sat down and thought about that hard because I live in the Coldwater squad district myself. I'm closer to Salina, but I live in the Coldwater squad district. And, you know, talking to folks about that, I've met with Kara Smith, who is the director of EMS for Mercer County. I've actually went around and I've tried to meet with most all the elected officials, and some of the appointed, like Kara, because I heard about these issues.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was, you know, I don't know if you heard or kept up with it, you know, there was some talk about the library issue, you know, earlier this year. And I went and talked to Liz Muther, the director of the library. I mean, to me, that's the way you're going to get the best information, is go right to that person that's in charge, you know, and make your own judgment of what's going on. But and that it is concerning about the volunteers. But like I said, it's a national issue. But to think, because we're such a strong county, right? I mean, there are things that happen elsewhere that don't happen in Mercer County, because yeah, we are, you know, this county as a whole is such a, you know, hard work ethic, and we take care of our own, all the things we do. But that volunteer thing is real. So
sure.
In the labor force. So one of the things I did is, I've never worked in manufacturing. You hear me talk about my background.
Yeah.
I think the only thing I probably left out was I'm an assistant to a funeral home director too. Yeah, that's another whole story. But I've never worked in manufacturing, you know, and a lot of people have, right? I mean, you got a lot of big ones down here, J&M, JR. JR just got the award the other night, you know. And I've never been in that. And I thought, I got to get in that. So I met the Greaseships at an event and said, hey, I'd like to get a tour. They said, absolutely. So Joe Kanapke took me for a tour of J&M, and I was just, wow, it was just amazing. I've never done that. So it was amazing. And just that was a couple weeks ago. They said, bring some friends. So we went and took a tour of J&M, and wow, just how amazing that was. You know, just the magnitude of that. 60 acres.
Yeah.
Their footprint is 60 acres. I'd always noticed when I was coming on 49, my little deer hunting spot's down here. I got a private lander that lets me deer hunt down here. And, of course, can't beat coming to the tractor pulls, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I would always see the grain carts and things over there, but to actually get a tour of that 60-acre footprint, 11 acres under roof, 200-plus employees, and the robots and just all the things. I've never been exposed to that. So, but it sounds like they're having, you know, good retention. And it sounds like we do have some pretty good retention, but we have businesses that do have a workforce shortage, you know, and that's a real issue too. But and then this past Monday, I took a tour of S&K Products over there on 127. They're just crossing the tractor supply store, you know, a little smaller scale. But that's one of the other things I learned, is how it was just amazing to take that tour with Nick Rents, and he toured the whole thing and the whole factory there, and was talking to me, you know, and 40 plus employees. And I still chuckle, you know, they got the funnels, they're making the galvanized funnels, you know, and I'm thinking, and they produce them every day. And I'm thinking, you buy a galvanized funnel, unless you run over it, why would you need another galvanized funnel? But they're producing them every day. But he was talking to me, and I have a neighbor that worked at Norcold in Sydney.
Yeah.
And Norcold moved overseas, and my neighbor got displaced. Well, also, that had a huge impact on S&K, because that was a big customer for them. So I guess just learning that,
sure,
how one company can impact so many other companies, you know, it's just, that was something to learn. So,
and I'll tell you what, the other thing that you realize as you go to these different businesses is, whether you're talking about S&K or J&M, you know, you're talking about family, mom and pop, small shop things when they start, and then look at how they bloom, you know, and so much. As you drive through these different towns, you have these guys who have a really good idea that started in their garage,
yeah,
and then they move it to their shed, and then they have to build a big machine shop for it and hire people. And
absolutely, that's you know, I ran into a couple of them just last weekend. Ran into Pat Moeller Senior, you know, Moeller Door Sales and Window, yeah, out there at 127 and 119,
yeah,
and we got a connection there because my brother's worked there for over 30 years. And but I ran into Pat Senior, you know, he's retired now, the boys are running the business. But I tell Pat, and I think about those success stories, you think about him, and then you got Denny Doors out there west of Salina. Both those guys worked for Wisman Door. They split off, started their own companies, and they just grow. And just look how large those companies are now. Machine Pro in Salina, Mr. Klosterman. I know Tim Klosterman, you know, that started in his garage. Him and his partner at that time worked at Crown. And if I remember that correctly, I think they worked at Crown, and they got a CNC and put it in the garage. And now Machine Pro is, you know, another large company up outside of Salina. So, yeah, well, so many of them success stories.
And I'm sure, as a county commissioner, that in the past, the county commissioners have have been involved in making these guys' pathways possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of different things. I remember back in my township days, SNK wanted to expand. So it was sort of cool to go back to SNK because I had been there back in the 90s. I was in there, and VJ Westerhardy was owner at the time, and he wanted to do an expansion. You know, we did the tax abatement and things, but we got a lot of great assets in this county as far as county staff. I know some of them. I've worked with some of them for years, and I've got to know more of them. But, our greatest asset is our people, right, of Mercer County, because of the work ethic they have. But we have got some really good county government employees as well, And one of those that helps pave that path, and I was just reading in the paper last night that we got another one coming, is Jared Ebbing, our economic development director. I mean, wow, that guy has done such a fantastic job. But, it takes the support of the commissioners as well.
Sure.
And yeah.
What's amazing about Jared is that it's not a one-trick pony, and it's not a one-hit wonder. I mean, Jared has been doing this now for, I would guess, 15 years or more.
Oh, I'm not sure, but I would say at least,
And he enables existing businesses to grow and new businesses to start. So
he's formed relationships and connections, on the state level and on the local level. It's just amazing. And like I say, it's just amazing to watch these companies and think about how these companies just, like you said, start in a garage and now they're these large company. That's J&M's success story. Sure. I took a walk, and when you go in the lobby, they show you the picture. Here's where they started, and the grease ships, here's where they started, and they went to this building, that, and here's the current, But then I was so intrigued. I went home that night, and I watched their video, and how they talk about how they started, just building the first gravity wagons, and they had turkeys in the back, and at one time the company failed, and they had to go borrow some money from friends and family, and it's just amazing to think to what it is today. It's just amazing. So, but I remember when JNR had their big fire, and I wasn't down here, but just watching it on the news, I remember the governor coming here, and I remember him saying that only in Mercer County could they, and they didn't rebuild the building. They still have it. The other night they talked about they're going to, it's going to take time because it's a lot of money. It's a big building, right? But they didn't miss a beat, and I've talked to people who work there. It's like, we did not miss one delivery deadline, because, and I remember the governor saying only in Mercer County would this happen. And I found it so true. I traveled all of Southwest Ohio in my last position with Ohio Department of Natural Resources. I had 14 state parks, and I traveled from Grand Lake was the furthest one north, and I went down to the High River. You probably all heard of like Houston Woods and East Fork, which is east of Cincinnati. I mean, some of these parks, it would take me 2.5 hour drive one way, but in some of them southern counties, it's just different. They're much more repressed, if that's the right word, and it would just always felt so good to come home every night, come back to Mercer County.
Yep. I totally get it. So we've talked about your background. So how has the jobs you've had, education, whether it's formal or personal experience, how has that prepared you to be the county's next commissioner?
Yeah, so like we've talked about, 32 and a half years experience, starting off as a township trustee and then working my way up through the different management positions at Ohio State Parks. Well, as we were just talking about, my final position allowed me to provide leadership to 14 state parks. So I had direct supervision of 8 park managers. So some of those park managers, of course, you can tell by the math, had 2 parks. Then under them then, which ultimately reported up to me, was over 200 people in the season, grass cutters and people that cleaned restrooms and cabins and things, as you can imagine, it would expand in the summer with college staff, high school staff, whatever. But with that became, also providing leadership to them was all these lakes. We had, Rocky Fork Lake and Cowan Lake and Caesars Creek. And with that came all the buildings, the campgrounds. Almost every, I think everyone had a campground. And with the campgrounds come all the buildings, the shower houses, the restrooms, the infrastructure, the roadways. and the equipment that it takes to maintain all that. And so what would happen is the chief of Ohio State Parks would divvy out a budget to each district. And so my budget at that time was approximately $9 million was my operational budget to run those 14 state parks. So it's like, here's $9 million, run these state parks, do a good job with it. And then occasionally, you know, we would get capital budgets, which would allow us to do neat things. And so I would, you know, I was responsible for that. It wasn't the park managers that got in trouble. They got in trouble if they were spent their budget, but I got in trouble if I didn't stay within that $9 million. And then there come the lean times. You know, when we got into the lean times, we would, you know, that I could remember almost every budget cycle. They'd be like, okay, tell us what it looks like if we do a 10% cut to your budget, right? Because we were higher state parks. We weren't the highways. We weren't ODOT. You know, we weren't a necessity, right? We were about helping people make memories, right? And to relax. And so we weren't an essential, if that sounds right. So we would have to do those. And so then, you know, I'd have to develop a plan and present it. You know, we called it to Columbus on how we were going to do those budget cuts and what the impacts were going to be to the users and the visitors of state parks. So I just think those things there. And I think, and so as I traveled, I dealt with, you know, township trustees all over Southern Ohio or Southwest Ohio. I dealt with county commissioners, state representatives, state senators, you know, because that park that was in their district, whether it be a county or a township or their Senate district or House district, that meant everything to them. Sure. And so if there was something they didn't like or something they wanted to see improved or done, you know, I would be the first person to meet with them, have a discussion about it, and work my way through it. So I think that past has set me up. Do I know everything about this county commission? Absolutely not. I've never sat in a role, but I think my past experience is definitely aligned me to do it well.
Fantastic. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and talk about what do you see as the greatest challenges that you think you'll face as the next county commissioner. So we'll be back right after this.
There's one guarantee in business, and that is that you can never predict the future. Hi, I'm Amanda Segrist with Fort Recovery Insurance. Lots of unpredictable things happen in business. The economy might take a U-turn, or that guy from down the road might take a U-turn into your front door. From a commercial insurance package to a commercial umbrella policy, we can make sure you are covered for the unpredictable. We are your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group. Visit us at www.fortrecoveryinsurance.com.
You can't predict the future. Well, except that Ohio weather is unpredictable, and sometime in the future, you will lose power. Of course, with the Generac automatic standby generator from Reasoner Energy, you're covered. And for added predictability, now through October 8th, get a free 10-year warranty with your purchase of a Generac automatic standby generator. That's a $1,035 value. Terms and conditions apply. A predictable future is in your hands. Call for details, Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
Wayne IGA has you covered for Lent. Their Fish Fry Fridays are back with their great fish ready to go back in their deli on Ash Wednesday and every Friday during Lent. You can get their fish as dinners with two sides or get it by the pound. Either way, you'll have delicious fish without the hassle. And you can call ahead at 375-2865 and they'll have it ready for you when you get there. It's freshly breaded and fried all throughout the day, so stop by and get some of their great fish, available in bulk or dinners with your choice of several sides. Just stop in and grab some back at their deli or call ahead at 375-2865 and they'll have it ready to go when you get there. Wayne IGA Fish Fridays are back during Lent. Get in there and get you some.
Mercer County Board of Elections would like to remind voters that in-person absentee voting will begin on February 21st in the Mercer County Courthouse Auditorium located at 101 North Main Street in Salina, Ohio. There will be extended hours through the early voting period, which ends at 5 p.m. on Sunday, March 17th. You can check the Mercer County Board of Elections website for more information on the hours as well as other voting information. We are your trusted source for all things related to voting.
Chase, you have to give me time, Chase. I've got to be able to chew my food.
He gave you 30 seconds.
I know. So, We're back talking to Mr. Brian Miller, the candidate for Mercer County Commissioner seat. So, Brian, as like we went in to break, I'd asked you as like you approach this job, and I think it's a 4-year term, correct?
Correct.
What do you see as the 3 or 4 main topics that'll be on your plate as you go into this?
One of the things is going to be this volunteer thing. You know, a lot of these things I think about, it's like, what impact can a county commissioner have, right? I mean, but we definitely can roll our sleeves up and help find these solutions, work with the appropriate people to find these solutions. You know, with the volunteers, with the squads, you know, that's a serious issue. I've met with Kara Smith a couple times. I just met with her again this week. And, you know, they've got a proposal that they're going to roll out. But that's not the commissioner's, you know, decision on what's going to happen. Because the commissioners, of course, it is county EMS. But what the county does is they do the billing and they do the administration side of the EMS. But then there's districts and they each do their own thing. They're working on a plan on that right now.
So would the county commissioners make the decision that the EMS is not voluntary and they get paid for it?
There is a EMS board that'll make that decision.
Okay.
And then, of course, if there would become a time that a levy was going to run, then I think that works its way up through the county. But I'm not 100% sure. Like I said, I'm not there.
Yeah.
And I don't want to speculate. You know, one of the things I said is the great thing will be is, you know, Jerry's not rerunning, right? Jerry Laffer is not rerunning, but I've talked to him, you know, and he would be available because that man is walking away with 44 years of institutional knowledge. Rick's been there for quite some time. Rick Mollenkamp's been there for quite some time, you know, and Dave Buescher's going on he's well over a year now, going into a couple years being there. So it'd be just learning on the fly. But I just think my past experience helps me. You know, some of the other things that, you know, they're going on in the county, but I just don't know, you know, just the commissioners can be supportive of it and offer resources they can. You know, it's like, I know a big thing for this county is the avian influenza, you know, I mean, what that impact could be on us. And I think just making sure that we're supportive and out there, you know, the commissioners are supportive and out there doing what they can do to help. I think it's a lot about resources.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I've always prided myself on is just having the, you know, helping to find those resources and get those resources in place when time needs. And then the labor force, you know, and a lot of it is what can the commissioners do? But once again, it's just those resources being available and just trying to help where we can, work with our state legislators where we can, you know, and have a relationship. And I think that's one thing I would have going into this. I already have a good relationship with our elected officials and with a lot of our county staff and with our, you know, with our state, our state representative, King, with Angie King. I've got a relationship, you know, just having that relationship because you're going to call each other and work on these things together. So.
Yeah. So as you, with your background, is there a special emphasis on the water quality type thing, or do you feel like that's done at a different level?
No, it's very commendable what's been done with the lake. I mean, it is my background, you know, and it's one part of this county. I understand ag receipts are number one, you know, but tourism is a close second, you know. I think you all know Donna Gruby, who's originally from over here at Fort Recovery, you know, and she's our Greater Grand Lake Visitor Center Director, but just keeping an eye on that. But the lake is definitely doing much better than it ever had or has in quite some time. And, you know, recently I've been thinking about that, you know, I think that was a wake-up call from Mother Nature to what it could be. And it was just great to see us all come together from different walks of life, agriculture and lake, whatever you want to say. But we got to keep our eye on that. And one of the things that the county commissioners have done, which is just phenomenal, is they created that Lake Facilities Authority. And it's where all Glaze and Mercer County commissioners, they meet, they work together. And that is a, like a, you know, it was voted on, and it's a separate government body, I guess you would call it, and it allows those grant dollars to come through here, you know, because there's the treatment trains, the wetlands you've heard about that have been recreated to help process the water that comes in, but those funds are grant dollars, you know. They're Clean Ohio funds and their H2 Ohio funds, you know, which was one of Director DeWine's initiatives. They're allowing us to do those things. But that Lake Facilities Authority gives us that conduit to funnel those funds in here to do those. But I just think we can't take an eye off that. We can't, we just got to always keep our eye on that lake. I mean, it's a huge resource. Sure. It's just phenomenal for our county as a whole, the people that it brings in, you know, and do they travel through Fort Recovery? Absolutely. You know, if they're coming from that direction, you know, and the thing I always said was neat was, you know, they're buying their food, their gas, and, you know, they're leaving things here. And we get to stay here all the time in this great county, and a lot of them people come and go. So
one of the main responsibilities of the county commissioners is, to a certain extent, you guys control the purse strings to several different areas of the county as far as different departments.
Right.
So as the person that's in control of that, what would be your financial priorities when it comes to setting budgets?
You know, history usually serves itself when it comes to those things, and you know, the county commissioners do the appropriations for the different departments, and I think, you know, it's history, and that's one of those things that you're just gonna have to learn as you go. I mean, you know, it's a hard thing to answer right here, but I think it's just looking at history and seeing where the needs are, and I you know, we're all fiscally responsible people here in this county. It's amazing, and I don't foresee any issues there. But like I said, I'd have to lean on the other two commissioners to get me up to speed and train me. So,
well, and you'd mentioned with the EMS thing, you know, when you talk about the safety and security part of things and the role that the county sheriff department plays, you know, people want to feel safe. You know, and I think that's a key part to what the commissioners do is to make sure that those funds get appropriated appropriately. You know,
absolutely. You know, I did take a tour of the sheriff's office to sit down with Sheriff Gray, who we know is, you know, he's getting ready to not rerun as well, retire after a long career with Mercer County, which I guess started down here from what I understand. But sat down with him to understand that more, but. You know, he does a great job, and from my understanding, talking with him, the commissioners have always been very supportive of the sheriff and what's needed. I mean, the commissioners understand that the security of this county is of the utmost.
Fantastic. So I'll tell you what, we're going to take one more break, and when we come back, Brian, I'll give you the chance to kind of sell yourself to the people of FR Radio and explain to us why, you know, we ought to vote for you next Tuesday.
Sounds great.
So we'll be back right after this.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Stroll Appliance and Electronics is the place to find GE appliances, parts, and service, Radio Shack electronics, scrapbooking supplies, and even kitchenette brooms. Shop Strolls at 1513 North Meridian Street in Portland, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. until 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. until noon. Need an appointment? Call me, Debbie, at Strolls, 260-726-7136.
Hi,
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting and Finance and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. I believe firmly in two things. The little things mean a lot, and to be great, you have to be practicing certain tasks, OADB, on a daily basis. That's why farmers, when thinking about your 2023 and 2024 operating monies, come see me for the best value in the market, because operating costs affect you every day, and it's nice having a friend helping you navigate those current market challenges. See me for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-852-4049.
As part of the Eric R. Rogers Performing Arts Series, Arts Place in Portland will be hosting Instant Classic, a musical group featuring barbershop quartet-type harmony, a cappella music, and youth outreach. The show will be presented on Thursday evening, March 21st at 7 p.m. at Arts Place, 131 East Walnut Street in Portland, with refreshments being served starting at 6 o'clock. They'll perform a variety of music styles, including vocal jazz, musical theater, pop, and even rhythm and blues. The tickets are just $12 for adults and $5 for students. Don't miss this great night of musical entertainment with the musical group Instant Classic on Thursday, March 21st at 7 p.m. at Arts Place in Portland. Get your tickets now. The Jay County Civic Theater will be presenting Disney's Finding Nemo Jr. in early June, and the auditions are coming up on Tuesday, March 12th and Wednesday, March 13th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. at Arts Place at 131 East Walnut Street in Portland. Callbacks will be Thursday evening, March 14th, and rehearsals will begin in early April. There are a number of roles available for this show and are open for anyone age 18 and younger. For the auditions, please prepare about 30 seconds of a musical theater song, and you can sing along with music from your phone or other portable device, and you will also be asked to read a few lines from the show's script. If you aren't able to get to the auditions on Tuesday, March 12th or Wednesday, March 13th, you can make other arrangements by inquiring at jcountycivic@gmail.com or by contacting director Jason McGraw. Make arrangements to get to Arts Place in Portland on Tuesday or Wednesday, March 12th or 13th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. for your audition to be part of Disney's Finding Nemo Jr., which will be presented in early June.
We're back. Brian, this has been a quick hour, fella.
Yeah.
I told you it would go fast. So, but I tell you what, I think we've done a very good job of getting to know Brian Miller. And it's, you know, Neil has said this on a number of, you know, different occasions. The good thing about elections in this area is you're almost always dealing with high quality people. And I think the very same thing is true of the three people run for our county commissioner seats. But those other two guys are not here. So I'll give you the chance to tell us why we should vote for Brian Miller.
Yeah, I just think, you know, what we've talked about here over the last almost an hour now, you know, just my experience, you know, from town, just, I guess, as a kid with work ethic and then just working my way up through and being a township trustee. And then, you know, all the various positions at the High Department of Natural Resources, which are relevant to what, you know, somewhat relevant to what a county commissioner does, I think is a big play into it. You know, a lot of people think, well, he's the late guy. Well, I was a late guy. I mean, we all got to make a living somewhere, right? And that's just where the chips fell for me. But I understand what agriculture means to this county. I understand what manufacturing means to this county. It all has a role to this county. And so I just think my experience and then my community service, which we didn't even get into, that'd be, and it takes some more time. You know, I've been, as well as I've been a lifelong public servant, I've also been a community servant.
Just, well, I'll tell you what, let's talk about some of the organizations that you've been involved with, because okay. I think that's important.
We'll get through it quick here, because I know we're about to run out of town, but time. But
we have plenty of time.
All right. Awesome. So I was 10 years on the Montezuma Fire Department. I taught hunter's education for 25 years. I was a founding member of the Mercer County Friends of NRA, which has their annual banquet over here each year. I've been with Mercer County Pheasants forever. I've been the secretary for 20 plus years now. Like I said, I was a founding member of the Lake Restoration Commission. I served in my church. That was the most recent thing I did. My wife and I took on a ministry at our church here many years ago. And then, of course, you know, those who ask for some get a lot. So then I was asked to serve on our council, and I served as vice president and president of our church council. And I just got wrapped up with that in February. And then volunteer some time with the Lake Improvement Association. And at one point was South Shore Sportsman's Club. We did Kids Fishing Derby at Windy Point each year. And then my wife, by default, I'm part of Lake Fest because my wife is a 20-plus year chairman of Salina Lake Festival. So you know how that works when your spouse is, you are. So, you know.
How in the hell do you have time to have two kids?
Yeah. So, yeah, my kids, I always wonder, are they going to do community service or not? Because they always got drug along, and I don't know if they're going to want to do it someday or not. But my daughter does. She does quite a bit. But, yeah, so, but along those lines, and thanks for letting me elaborate on that, is just, you know, just my leadership experience. I've been known to be a problem solver, and that's one thing I would bring here. And just my strong work ethic, and, you know, I am a true conservationist, like I said, with pheasants forever all these years. You know, one of the things that, if you ever get over to the lake, I don't know if you've ever been over there, but we've got all those neat treatment trains. You've heard about them. But
oh, yeah.
There are some really neat walking trails around them. So just the, you know, the environmental tourism that we have here, the ecotourism that we have here as well is cool. But the bottom line is, now is the right time in my life for me to do it. Like I said earlier, empty nesters. I'm at a point in my life right now where I can commit the time to do this job and provide it great justice.
There's a question that I meant to ask early on that I didn't, and I want to ask it now.
Okay.
What's a dredge operator?
It's a mudsucker.
Okay.
It's the guys that run the machines that actually suck
the stuff out of the bottom of the lake.
Suck the mud out of the bottom of the lake.
Okay. You had said that, and I thought that that's what it was.
Very interesting. I got to take a boat ride every day. So you take a, you know, you go to a job site, and you jump in a John boat, and you go out to this big mechanical floating machine, and actually you're removing the silt out of the lake and pumping it up and out. So, yeah, that's what it
is. Fantastic. And then I don't think that you mentioned that you're the chairman of the Giving Thanks.
Yeah, that's a new role we took on. You know, just always looking for new things to do. And my wife had seen on Facebook that Bruce Swanger wanted to step down. They were looking for somebody new to take over the Giving Thanks in Salina. And to be honest, we hadn't been there. So we followed in Bruce's footsteps there. And, boy, he's really got it laid out nice. You know, a lot of times somebody hands you something, they're like, good luck, you know. But Bruce actually has got it all set up in a three-ring binder, and it starts with, you know, you start here in early October, you're doing this, and works its way through. And, you know, once again, it's just, it's that great community thing. I was so impressed. So my wife and I, we followed him this year to see how it all went down. And it was just so cool that, you know, they work with Coopers on the turkey rolls. They use the rolls now. They don't use the whole turkey. They use the rolls, which...
Turkey roast.
Turkey roast. Yep.
Yeah.
And, you know, they give them to volunteers that the weekend before take them home, and they cook those, and then they go to Greens. Matt Barman Green stores them, you know, and then the day before they pick them up and they take them up there. But there's just, and they slice them. There's just so many volunteers. And the day of Thanksgiving, I was just so overwhelmed. And even the evening before, on the number of volunteers that just popped in there and just, they knew what to do, you know. And
that's pretty cool, isn't it?
It is really cool too. Yeah. And, you know, because of COVID, there's not near as many people that there once was that actually come and sit down and eat. Yeah. Still a lot of people come sit down and eat, but the takeouts, and then they deliver. They deliver. There's all these volunteers. It's just phenomenal, and it was very humbling to be a part of that. And, you know, we're to the point where, once again, it's just a good time in our life to do that. So
I tell you what, when you can be a part of something good like that,
phenomenal.
It's hard to pass
up. And you would think that's in every community, but you know it's not. You know, it's just this great Mercer County that we live in. Yeah. It's in other communities, don't get me wrong, but it just never ceases to amaze me, the things that we do.
Fantastic. Well, Brent, I tell you what, you've done a fantastic job. Regardless of what next Tuesday finds, take a little bit of time to rest, my man, because you and your wife probably deserve a little break away. So I wish you luck next Tuesday.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you You did a fantastic job. So I tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break, run a couple of PSAs, and be back with Mr. Rocker and his, let's see, what do you have tonight?
Pop culture news.
So we'll be back right after this.
The Mercer County Board of Elections would like to remind voters that in-person absentee voting will begin on February 21st in the Mercer County Courthouse Auditorium located at 101 North Main Street in Salina, Ohio. There will be extended hours through the early voting period, which ends at 5 p.m. on Sunday, March 17th. You can check the Mercer County Board of Elections website for more information on the hours as well as other voting information. We are your trusted source for all things related to voting.
Hi, I'm Kenzie Garkey.
I'm Brittany Tubby.
And I'm Callie Wendell. And we're the Indians girls softball team. And we're challenging the baseball team again this year to see which team can collect the most donations for our local food pantry on Monday, April 1st, when we play Salina.
I'm Sage Wendell.
I'm Riggs Tubby.
And I'm Troy Homan. And we're the Indians baseball team. We accept your challenge because we know we can collect a lot more food pantry donations than these girls can.
Last year, we collected a lot more than the boys did, and we got to pie our coaches in the face, and we're going to do it again this year.
We'll be playing Sydney Lehman that day, and we're going to win the competition and pie our coaches in the face this year.
Whichever teams win, the fans who come to the games can win too. For every item you donate, you'll get a ticket or our drawing to win Fort Recovery Merchant gift certificates to be given away that day.
Some of the suggested donations are non-perishable food or household items, such as cleaning supplies or Ziploc bags, and personal care items like shampoo, deodorant, toiletries, etc.
Make sure you bring your donations to the Little Fever Athletic Complex to cheer us on as we play Salina.
And we play Sydney Lehman, and you can help us collect a lot of items for our local food pantry.
Come out and help our baseball and softball teams collect donations for our local food pantry on Monday, April 1st.
We'll see you there.
If you missed the free distribution of Eclipse Viewing Glasses on Saturday, March 2nd at our library, it's not too late to get yours. They're still available at all the county's libraries during regular library hours until they're gone. The eclipse will occur on Monday afternoon, April 8th, and you'll want to be properly equipped to see it safely. Watching the eclipse without adequate eye protection can cause temporary or even permanent eye damage. Sunglasses are not proper eyewear for directly viewing the eclipse. So if you weren't able to get up to the library during their drive-through handout, all you need to do is stop by one of the libraries in the county and pick up your free eclipse viewing glasses.
We're back. You know, Brian's a pretty good guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he kind of is.
Yeah.
And he's one of the three that are running for that. And we've talked to all three of them. And after tonight, all three will be in the archives. And we would urge you to check them out, listen to all of them, and make a wise decision as to who you decide to vote for. If you just kind of are going by name recognition, it's okay too, I guess. But you can find out what they're all about if you just go in the archives and just listen to them.
So I have a question. Okay.
Yeah, I have an answer. The answer is George Washington.
So the fact that...
Oh, you're answering, that asking a different question.
We have a... Okay, so we have voting next Tuesday.
Yes.
On the... Okay, so this isn't a general election. This is a...
primary.
Okay. So if somebody decides to run as a Democrat,
can't now. They could as a write-in, I guess. But that has never worked in Mercer County.
Okay.
Jeff Gray ran as a write-in his first try.
So in order to run for an office in November, you had to win a primary in order to be on that ballot.
Very good. As a Democrat, yes.
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 Okay.
Officially. Now, you can say you're a Democrat and you can be a write-in.
So, can you run as an independent?
Yeah, I think so, yes.
And be on the ballot?
I'm not sure that that's a question for the election board that we didn't have time to talk to this year.
Okay.
For the primary, we will
in November.
Hopefully talk to them for the general election. So we'll hope to have them
but
on
you know October. What? Chase is in college. He knows everything. Let's ask him. You don't know that? Okay. Well, let's go to the man that does have all the answers.
Oh, dear heavens, what happened there?
Hello, Rocker.
I'm ready whenever you are.
What are you talking about today?
Pop culture notes.
Now, wait, first of all, let's talk about you being mentioned at the Citizen of the Year banquet.
And I wasn't even there.
How cool is that?
I heard it's interesting.
You know, when people start measuring their various recognitions, and one of the things at the top of their list is making Rocker's top tens, that says something about the man and the myth.
It's
humbling.
How important that, well, they're not really that important for entertainment purposes. I wish some people realized that's exactly what they're there for, is entertainment purposes, not to get offended over, or you'd be amazed some people still get a little hurt over that kind of stuff.
Well, they could make their own list.
Very good, Neil.
So let's talk about pop culture history.
Yes, because I'm sure Sports Talk would like to get
there. Well, this is pop culture notes.
Notes.
That's,
all that you said is pop culture notes.
That's every little bit of everything, actually.
Okay.
On this day, March 12th, 1899, Coke is bottled for the first time out of the lovely town of Chattanooga, Tennessee.
At the what?
Lovely town of Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Really?
I thought there's Atlanta.
Well, that's where the corporate offices are.
So they bottled it in Chattanooga.
Which is not that far away.
Yeah, Chat's just 20 minutes up the road.
Not our Chat, their Chat.
Oh, Tennessee, yeah, that's right, you said that.
That's all we have for March 12th. March 13th is a little bit more...
that's today.
Fun. Well... 1969, Herbie drives into the theaters for the first time. Herbie the Love Bug.
Ah! I was probably there. What was the year?
1969.
Very, very possible.
I was a minus five, by the way.
Huh. So how was the movie that day?
Not well. Anything on that?
What was the name?
Anything on Herbie?
What was the name of the guy who starred in that?
The actor?
Yeah.
Dean Jones.
And the female?
It's kind of...
Susie. I will call her Susie.
That sounds good.
We'll just call her Susie.
At one of them, it was Suzanne Plachette.
Oh, so I was close with Susie. I just thought, okay.
And she's a lovely gal.
She is. Yeah.
Or was.
Is she expired?
She's in that big hoopla in the sky.
So can you tell us what year she expired?
Oh, I'm going to say at least...
Suzanne Plachette.
It was recently, but I'd say 2017, 2018.
Okay, well, Chase is going to check that out.
Also, 2012, Encyclopedia Britannica ceases publications after 244 years.
244 years.
Yes.
Yep. They got replaced by Wikipedia. So what year?
2008. 2008.
Eight.
That's off by 10 years.
Yeah. Well, you're closer than the rest of us. I thought you were still alive.
Now, both you boys, I mean, you two.
Okay.
Oh.
Chase is too young for this question.
Oh. He'll know the answer anyway.
Pop culture question of the week. Who's the only non-blooded Cartwright son?
Adam. Non-blooded?
Cartwright son.
So
that means which one was adopted?
Yes.
Ching Lee.
He was one of the sons.
Strike one there, Scooter.
I'm saying Adam. They ditched him early.
I'd say
he actually was a son.
Oh, okay.
I'd say Little Joe.
I'd say Hoss. That way we covered them all.
The actual answer is Candy.
Candy?
Yes.
Candy is the name of a son.
Yes.
No wonder he wasn't blood.
Andy.
candy.
I've never heard of it.
As in candy.
When was he ever on?
I've never heard of him. The last couple seasons.
I've never heard of him.
I thought
I watched every Bonanza episode ever, probably a dozen times.
And the actor, by the way, David Canary, who's not with us at all.
Is that Harry Canary's brother?
Harry birthdays. we don't have very many. Friday, we got Michelle Deuce.
This past Friday or this coming Friday?
This coming Friday.
Oh, happy birthday, Michelle.
Also, Samantha Florence.
I don't know her.
Shocking.
Yeah. Probably classy then, isn't she?
Saturday, Andrea Rammel and our own Kelly Walter.
All right.
And then the citizen of the day.
Oh, I hope it's me again.
One who's been asking for this for the last 8 months.
So it's me?
You. Yeah, it's you.
Bubba? Is it?
I was citizen of the day about 8 months ago.
Well, I'm
fresh. I got to be it again?
I'm freshening it up a little bit.
All right, so I get to be citizen of the day every week.
Happy citizen of the day, Neil.
Thank you. I'm so proud of myself.
Jack's favorite part of the show, back after popular demand.
Uh-oh.
Celebrity birthday time.
All right.
Yesterday, we had Agent 99 herself, Barbara Feldon, turns a crisp 91.
Well, that's pretty good. No, Barbara Eden was my dream of genie. Good guess, though, Bob.
Yep. Right on top of things as usual.
Did you know they're doing a remake where they're bringing all the old characters back to that guest part?
Well, two of them, well, one's dead.
I can just do that breakfast with Bernie or whatever it was and set him in the corner.
Who's dead? Don
Adams.
Adams. Liza Minnelli turns 78.
Liza Minnelli's only 78.
Yes. I thought she was a little bit older than that, too.
Well, she's been around for 100 years, so you'd think she'd be older.
What was her most famous song?
Cabaret.
Very good.
I didn't know she had any famous songs, so you're one ahead of me.
Come to the cabaret,
old son.
Life is
a cabaret.
I was waiting for the end of it. The voice of Fred from Scooby-Doo, for Frank Welker, is also 78.
Fred
from Scooby-Doo.
Who's Fred?
Shaggy.
No,
Fred was the one with the blue tie.
He's with the ascot and...
Oh, he was. You know, so
the
hoity-toity guy.
Yes. As they would say today, a little shaky.
Oh.
Today's birthdays, we got William H. Macy, 74.
Oh.
From Shameless.
Yep.
Old Frank.
Classic.
He played in some hospital show.
He played in a lot of good movies. I believe he was in
Chicago.
Might have been.
He's in one of them.
Yes.
Who?
William H. Macy.
Oh,
character actor.
Yep. Pretty good one.
Dana Delaney is 68. She's a lovely gal.
And which day is that? Today.
Dana Delaney.
Which day?
Army show.
Yeah.
Today.
What was it?
Chicago or China Beach.
Yes.
China Beach.
Very good, Robert.
You forgot a really important one. I celebrate my birthday on Sunday, St. Patrick's Day.
You have two of those, by the way.
Yeah, it's not my birthday, but that's when I celebrate it.
Fargo.
So,
William Macy.
William H. Macy. Yeah.
Very good, Bubba.
Yep. Been a lot of
Wild
stuff.
Wild Hogs.
Yep.
Wild Hogs.
That was real early, wasn't it?
I'll take Bubba to the block.
Jurassic Park.
Oh, I didn't know he's in Jurassic Park.
I didn't either.
Air Force One.
Yep.
That's hot.
How about
Boogie Nights?
Boogie Nights.
Yes. That was a bad end for him on that one, though.
Why?
He shot himself.
He got boogied? Oh.
What is your take? And I know this is the concern of many of us in this room.
That's a mouth.
But what's going on with Kate Middleton?
Oh, apparently she's a doctor in pictures.
No, now they think she's missing.
Well, it's kind of hard to miss
I don't think she's missing.
Princess.
I don't think she's missing.
Go check out your ex or your TikTok?
I don't have TikTok. I don't do Chinese.
But do you do X?
No, I used to.
Wow.
They changed the name and he can't spell it anymore.
No, I...
He can spell Twitter. He can't spell
X. When I think X, I think there should be two more added to it. But so I get confused.
He does have that. He does have the triple X.
So, Chase, I think that's all we got. So, Neil?
Yep.
We'll be here next Wednesday again.
Yes, and we will have...
This will be 3 weeks in a row for me being here.
That's something.
Hey, did you go to a casino today?
Yeah, bad.
Yeah. Bad. So bad next week we will have the Win on the Wabash folks talking about everybody wants to get their stuff filled out for their
We'll finish the Neil's sentence next week.
the scholarship stuff.
Stay tuned for sports talk.
Something for scholarships.
You got any guests?
Bobby.
Steve Hellwagon.
Fee has Bubba as a guest. Bubba has Fee as a guest.
Steve Hellwagon will be on the phone.
Who?
Steve Hellwagon from Bucknuts.
He is from Minnesota right now.
Oh, Minnesota.
So stay tuned for that. Right, and sports talk. Right on time.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.